This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The FBI is looking hard at some Bexar County lawyers and elected officials. There appears to be a wide-ranging public corruption probe underway and a scandal. It's ready to pop. We've seen some early indications of what to expect. There's already one political pelt nailed to the barn. And covering this is San Antonio Express News senior staff writer Guillermo Contreras. Welcome to The Source, Guillermo.
Good afternoon.
And we're also joined by retired FBI agent James Wedick. He led the shrimp scam scandal in investigation in California with the largest public corruption investigation in that state. Welcome to The Source, James.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing great. Our phone lines are open. We invite questions and comments from the public. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about what the early rumblings of a public corruption scandal at the Bexar County Courthouse. And so, Guillermo, your byline's been all over this. You're covering what's going on. So kind of lay it out for the listeners. What's happening here?
Well, I mean, as far as I can tell, this investigation has been going on since at least last spring. It involves a person at the center of it is a local defense lawyer named Al Acevedo. He's been around for years. He does a lot of cases all over South Texas. And the claims are that, or the allegations that at least that I've been able to pinpoint are that he was either providing gifts or bribes to judges, to others at the courthouse. And the FBI is looking at several different aspects of it, from prosecutors to clerks to bondsmen. So it's pretty wide-ranging.
We've already seen one judge, one elected official resign his position and take out his candidacy, even though he is still on the ballot on the Republican primary. That would be Angus McGinty. So what happened there?
Yes, he resigned. And I'm guessing that, the FBI – either may have approached him or had something a little more beyond, generally when you have an informant or somebody, you just don't rely on that. It seems like they had a little more to leverage that. And, my understanding is that he may have just stepped down for, I guess, political reasons. That's the best I can figure right now.
So former agent Jim Wedick, we brought you in on this because you can give us an idea. You don't know the specifics about this case, but you know how these things happen and from the inside. And one of the most curious things about this case is that the local attorney general's office, they're not doing this. They've passed it on to – is that unusual?
Yes. Let me just say this: it's in my lifetime here in California, and I had the corruption squad in Sacramento, which is the state's capital, and I've been in and out of the San Diego U.S. Attorney's office as well as Los Angeles and San Francisco. So those offices are large enough that usually they're able to handle investigations, even to the extent when maybe a spouse. An attorney's spouse is working in state government and what have you. And so I had never seen it in California, so it suggests to me that probably that there's somebody involved in policy making or what have you, and they felt that in the interest of making sure that there aren't any appearances of conflict, that they made their recusal. And while it's unusual, there's the possibility that there's that appearance, they, in order to make sure they don't jeopardize the case, they will make that recusal.
So, and Guillermo, you've heard maybe some reasoning why the local U.S. Attorney's Office has recused themselves, and they've passed it on to the New Mexico Attorney's Office. So why?
What I've heard is that Al Acevedo also did federal cases, so he represented clients whom the local federal prosecution office is prosecuting. So if Acevedo, he hasn't been charged with anything, but if he does happen to become a defendant, there could be some issues of conflict of interest there. The other thing is that because there are some public officials involved, that there's the local prosecution office doesn't want to be seen as, giving special favoritism to one elected official over another. You know, why didn't you go after this official and not that one? That kind of thing. So they generally they have these agreements. The local prosecution office just did one for New Mexico and involved an official connected to their office there. So New Mexico is handling this one in particular now.
Now, if you've been into courthouse long enough, you always hear these rumors. FBI is looking at this guy. FBI is doing that, you know. And then you wait and wait and nothing ever comes. And you wonder if that rumor was bogus or if the FBI was looking but didn't find anything. And so it's not that unusual for to hear these stories. Oh, the FBI is checking out this guy or whatever. But now we're seeing these – it's very strange to see things like, you know, like as you said, Al Acevedo has not been charged with anything at all, you know. But he is talking openly about that there's something's happening, and then we've saw the resignation of Judge of McGinty. So that is very peculiar. I mean, don't you think, Agent Wittig?
Sure. If you have Judge McGinty, if he's resigned, what that suggests to me is they've gone past receiving information, allegations that he might be involved in some kind of corrupt activity, and they've been able to get into records, if you will, so that they would be able to corroborate that information. Because the Bureau is always very leery of jumping into a corruption case without having something to substantiate the allegations. It is not unusual for one side, for one party, to try to drum up dirt on the other side, and if they can, they would, in a New York minute, try to get the Bureau involved. And so having said that, what they usually try to do is they will take the information and then they will dig deep down and try to get that information corroborated, and it's usually about records. And so what it suggests to me is they found some records and they probably confronted McGinty with it, and he's elected to resign.
Isn't it kind of weird, though, because usually if you can hang on to your position as a judge, then you might be in a stronger position to plea bargain with the FBI so that you would exit gracefully later down the road?
Oh, sure. I mean, for him to readily step aside, it says that they have he's been confronted with some information that he considers pretty damning, and he's decided to step aside.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation. We're talking about a developing, wide-ranging public corruption probe underway at the Bexar County Courthouse. We've seen one judge resign. We have a local attorney being talked about as someone who is involved in this as well. We want to hear your questions and comments. The number is 614-8980. You can email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Not that unusual to hear about FBI public and corruption investigations in South Texas. There was a wide-ranging one in Eagle Pass, where many members of the county commissioners were indicted and convicted. Also down in the valley, recently, the district attorney for Cameron County was given sentencing 13 years in prison for taking cash for throwing cases down there. That was a pretty big deal. Now we're hearing that the FBI is looking at some of our local lawyers and elected officials. A wide-ranging public corruption probe appears to be underway. With me to talk about that is the San Antonio Express News senior staff writer Guillermo Contreras. He's been covering this. And also we're joined by retired FBI agent James Wittig. He led the shrimp scan investigation in California. It was a huge public corruption investigation in that state. So, Guillermo, we were talking about the McGinty and his resignation, the judge who resigned, but it was over something so petty. It wasn't a lot of cash. What was going on there?
Well, as I understand it, you know, speaking to some sources, is that he somehow made some arrangement with Acevedo, you know, or allegedly here, because neither has been charged, to take his car or cars to a mechanic that Acevedo knew. and that, you know, essentially Acevedo said, you know, I'll take care of it. You know, and the claim is that there was some wink-wink, some quid pro quo on the other end in terms of either a bond reduction or a delay in a bond forfeiture and that kind of thing that, you know, is what drew the, I guess, the interest of the FBI. And, it, you know, and I don't think it was more than, a, you know, at the most, a couple of thousand dollars, you know.
Right, a career thrown away just for a couple of thousand dollars. But he was not letting criminals go free, but it was just sort of a manipulation of the process, it seems. Of course, none of this has been proven yet or been brought forward in public records. But, you know, but this bond forfeiture, if they can delay that and they can keep that from happening, then that could save quite a bit more money, especially if someone has a, you know, a huge $500,000 bond or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, that means basically the – you know, there's a lot of lawyers here who post bonds for clients, and you know, if there's somebody issues a forfeiture order because a client didn't show up, then that means, you know, whoever paid the bond has to fork out the dough. So,
yeah, it seems like penny ante stuff. So, Agent Wettick, is that something the FBI would care about?
Well, you know, historically, you know, it's usually not. The suitcase filled with $250,000, and somebody makes this huge takes this official action in favor of somebody else. You know, it usually is people that have a relationship that the relationship is such that they're not afraid to talk with each other as long as it's one on one, and they seem to be able to negotiate a price. And you know, more often than not, when I have looked at payments and what have you, it will be about $1,000 to $5,000 to $10,000. And so more than that creates, you know, you have difficulties getting money out of banks. You know, not many people are walking around with $10,000 in cash on them. And so it is usually the amounts that you talk about. And the Bureau is very interested in those kind of cases, because it's not about, you know, the amount, but it's about whether or not there was a quid pro quo between an official and someone looking for a favor.
And so in this case, it sounds like the judge was going to get in his car, was going to have some work done on it, and then the attorney allegedly was going to pay for that, so no cash was actually going to change hands, but he was able to get this free service. And I guess if you do that enough times, if you're a judge, and it becomes you're talking about a lot of goods and services that you're able to acquire.
Sure, and it's not reported to the IRS. I'm sure at some point they'll figure into this investigation, and so there's a lot of way under the table money that's going back and forth, and it makes for a convenient lifestyle.
So what usually brings in the FBI into a case like this? I mentioned how we had some corruption down in South Texas in the Rio Grande Valley and also in Eagle Pass. And I know that this attorney, Al Acevedo, is a wide-ranging operating attorney. So could it be that one case, one area leads to another area, the FBI moves on? Or does this sprout forth spontaneously because the FBI heard something?
Sure. You know, agents, you know, criminal activity just doesn't, you know, isn't usually focused on one area. And so when agents are, you know, conducting their investigations during the day, they remain alert for people, individuals saying things. And it's usually that's how an investigation starts. Someone makes a comment to an agent and it suggests that something criminal is going on. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, they're leery of just jumping into an investigation because, I mean, after all, look around. The people that we're talking about are educated professionals, and so the Bureau does not want to damage someone's reputation. And so if they get that information, they'll try to get some information to corroborate it, you know, you know, not publicly, but, you know, quietly. And then once they do that, then they'll see if they can go on out and ask the individual if whether or not, you know, these facts are true and whether or not, you know, or maybe is there a mistake made and something else is involved? Because if it is, they'd like to close the investigation and move on to something else.
quietly. That's a big asset for the FBI. They don't want these investigations conducted in public. But here we are on the radio talking about it. Guillermo's been writing about it in the paper. People are talking about it down at the courthouse. The quiet, that's not happening anymore. So does this make how does that impact the investigation?
Well, it's a twofold thing. Yes, the Bureau likes to do its work quietly, but they also know that in order to get information, the public has to know that they're there to do the public's bidding, to make sure that things are going on. And so it is not, while they don't like to initiate the publicity around any investigation, there is a side of it that it generates information, it generates concern, and so that's how the phone starts to ring, and they get additional information. And so, again, as I said, they don't like to publicize these things themselves, but once it happens, if it generates information, they'll be happy to receive it.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about what we've learned to be a public corruption investigation by the FBI looking at the Bexar County Courthouse with San Antonio Express News senior staff writer Guillermo Contreras. And with me on the line is retired FBI agent James Wittick. So, Guillermo, at the courthouse, how has this changed the atmosphere down there? Are people, has it changed the atmosphere?
Well, one thing I noticed upon coming to San Antonio, and I've reported in several other states, but that there was somewhat of a camaraderie over at the courthouse among defense lawyers and prosecutors, and everybody was real friendly. That to me seems like it's changed a little bit. It's very palpable. I can see there's a little bit more of a paranoia over there, just over these revelations. And even before I wrote the story, I mean this was the talk of the courthouse. I mean it was on the street, So it's people, I guess, who used to be chummy with each other are no longer trusting of each other. You know, it just that's what it seems like to me now.
Yeah, you never know who's going to be brought into the FBI and who's going to flip for him. And is that how it works, Jim? You get one guy, you bring him into you sit him down in that hard chair, and he starts singing.
Well, sure. In the way that the Bureau is always looking for information, and so if they can approach one defendant and ask and debrief him and find out that he has information and contacts that might assist in other avenues of an investigation, the Bureau will pursue them. And so it's not an unusual thing. And so I don't doubt that agents have been around the Capitol there, probably serving subpoenas and probably asking some direct questions that are making people feel a little bit uncomfortable.
I bet. Okay, let's get to the phones. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Cindy is on the line. Cindy, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I was just curious. It seems that the term Penny Annie, referring to, no big deal, in the, guise of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, is never good and leads to kind of a slow erosion of our judicial system. So I appreciate the investigation, but I was curious, is this drug related in any way? Do we know?
All right, Cindy, thanks for the question. Guillermo?
Well, I don't believe so. I mean, I understand that there's some, Acevedo did represent some clients who are drug defendants.
He's a defense attorney.
He's a defense attorney. So, I mean, he's defended people with charged with all kinds of crimes. I don't really believe, there might have been actual drugs per se involved, although, I've heard rumblings and rumors that it was a spinoff of maybe a drug investigation or something related to drug defendants,
Right.
And of course, right now that's, I haven't verified that, but that's just a lot of what I'm hearing.
Okay. Another caller, Brian has called in. Brian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I have a very short question, and that's simply, what should become of the rulings and judgments of these crooked judges? Should they be obeyed, or should they just be overturned and forgotten about?
That's a great question. Brian, thanks for that. Have we talked about that?
No, actually, I'm a little curious myself about what might become. I know, the DA's office here locally, we had a couple of deputies, their former deputies, suspected of lying and drug investigations. So they sent out letters to past defendants, the lawyers or the past defendants, saying, there's this potential liability. If you guys want to act on it, you can. So people could either appeal or ask for a new motions in their cases or new trials. That was the effect in that case, because that was a potential corruption investigation. In this case, I'm not sure. There is a possibility. I guess it might be grounds for appeal.
Wow, interesting. All right, so we have to wait. Right now there's a lot of speculation, and then the FBI has got to, and we've got to see the indictments, and we don't even know if there's going to be indictments. And Al Acevedo, he has not been indicted, so this is all. But he's spoken pretty openly, and you've talked to him. What did he tell you, Guillermo?
Well, when I approached him, he was in the middle of getting rid of some of his cases.
He was shedding his cases.
Right.
Because he knew that there was a problem. He couldn't focus on it.
Yeah. And what he said is, told me it was basically that the matter is under investigation. When I asked, I understand that you're accused of bribing. Did you bribe anybody? He said they're still investigating it. And then I even asked if you had a plea deal in the works, and he said nothing's been filed yet. So that's what he's told me so far. I've been unable to talk to him since then, but others have apparently heard from him.
All right. San Antonio Express News senior staff writer, ace reporter Guillermo Contreras, thanks for your hard work and great reporting. Also, we were joined by retired FBI agent James Wettick. He led the shrimp scan investigation in California. And thanks for your expertise and insight into the FBI's investigation. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after NPR News.